This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world.
Hello, and welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Donahue. In this episode, we are talking with Eric Donahue of Edon Productions, a talented photographer and, spoiler alert, my younger brother. In our conversation, we discuss how Eric has built his brand, his business approach and philosophy, and how building meaningful connections and relationships with his clients and cultivating joy is at the vanguard of his ethos. In addition, Eric provides a really unique insight into what can happen and the beauty that can occur when we get out of our own way. If you want more, check us out on patreon.com/illuminatepod. Okay, welcome to another episode of the Illuminate Podcast. My name is Megan Donahue, one of your hosts on this incredible podcast. And today I am joined by Eric Donahue. And listeners, if you are putting two and two together, our last names are both Donahue, and you are right, we are related. Eric is my younger brother, and not only is he the world's most incredible younger brother, this is not bias, this is fact, he is also an incredible and incredibly talented photographer who started his own photography business. And today I am looking forward to introducing you. So welcome, Eric.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Very, very good. So tell our listeners about yourself. Who is Eric? In addition to the unfortunate life experience of being dressed up by two younger sisters in the past.
All part of the flow. My name's Eric Donahue. Essentially the easiest way to say it is I am a professional freelancer here in the Boston and Greater Boston area. I do mostly photography and I dabble in a little bit of video production for clients, ranging everything from weddings, engagements, people's lifestyle, boudoir, corporate, and headshots. All things people, if you will.
Pretty all-inclusive. Yeah. That's incredible. That's a lot to have in a portfolio. Seems like you've pretty much started to kind of run the gamut of all things photography. So take us back to a little bit of the beginning, Eric. So what started your interest in photography and how did you get started?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I've always... I've always kind of just had an interest in gear. I'm definitely a self-proclaimed tech head. I just love gear, gadgets, technology. And I've always kind of, I guess, sort of been in some sort of film, photography, communications, broadcasting class ever since high school. So technically I went to school for it, went to school for digital film. Didn't end up doing a whole lot with that. And then basically in 2016, 2017, I went to Acadia National Park and took some landscapes. And that really, I think looking back on it, like Acadia really re-sparked my love for photography. And so I essentially by nature, I guess like I'm a landscape photographer by habit and just by passion and interest in hiking and getting outdoors. So I've always kind of been into it, I guess, to summarize. 2016, 2017, went to Acadia and that kind of re-sparked the interest. And then it's just sort of snowballed from there. Did a lot of heavy investing in gear past couple of years and basically just went kind of pro grade with everything and basically been professionally freelancing now for 2 to 3 years and kind of making it a business and doing everything by the books this past year.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Yeah, I remember in high school you were involved in, what was it? It was more like,
it's like broadcasting or like,
and, yeah.
Yeah, it was always like some thing, you know, camera related. But past couple of years, it's been like a deep dive into the pro grade stuff and like delivering for clients and, you know, making it a legitimate business for better or worse.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It seems like, you know, and we'll get to that a little bit. I have some questions a little bit later about turning that kind of that hobby and that passion into something that's a bit more lucrative, right, and sustainable. But as you mentioned, you know, you kind of started and are, let's say, a self-proclaimed landscape photographer, right? And I mean, folks, I'll put all of the links in this episode notes. You can go to Eric's website and profile and see some of his landscape photography. It's incredible. You know, I've never seen a sky kind of captured in that way. But I imagine that when you were starting out in this endeavor of kind of, you know, forming your own business per se and starting to make this, you know, what was your words, a little bit more kind of like not legit, but something that's more, you know, kind of structured. How did you decide, and was it hard to decide, of kind of like what your niche was going to be? You know, having that passion and that love in the background for landscaping photography, you know, kind of walk us through how you started to expand, you know, what you were shooting to what, you know, your portfolio is today. You mentioned, you know, weddings, family shoots, boudoir, landscape, like the whole nine, right? How do you decide?
So in a sense, that's, it kind of makes, it makes it easy to find work because I kind of cover a lot of different bases. In another sense, it kind of makes it difficult for people to maybe decide if they want to work with me, because like you said about niche, most photographers, marketing or advertising is their niche. Especially with social media in these days, you know, if you're looking for an engagement photographer or if you're looking for a wedding photographer, you basically want to scroll on that portfolio. You want to scroll on that page and see a bunch of that work. You
wedding
know what I mean?
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I like to say that I don't really have a niche. My niche is basically finding what my clients need and delivering. How would we say this? Yeah. So basically, it's a little different because I don't have much of like a niche. I'm just super, I have the ability to sort of take on the projects I want to take on. It is very much still a passion project, even though it's becoming more of a business.
Sure.
I still pretty much only shoot the things I want to shoot, take on the clients I want to take on. Bigger projects like weddings, engagements, like, you know, those start with like interviews and meetings to make sure that like the fit is right. So yeah, to take it back, I mean,
I'd imagine that, you know, being able to, not to interrupt you, but I'd imagine that, like, I know you said sometimes it may, you know, if a person's looking to work with you and they see you shooting a whole bunch of things, it may be like, oh, well, I just want a wedding photographer, for example. But I'd imagine that it'd almost work in your favor, right? Like, you're a renaissance man. You can do anything, you know? So,
yeah, well, weddings are a really good example, because I always was trying to stay away from weddings. And then, you know, there's so much going on the wedding day where it's sort of, I feel like everything's kind of almost been like training for that. Okay. Like, weddings are sort of like the tough muddler event photography. Because,
yeah, I was just going to ask, like, why?
Because you
why
jump in
you
and you
averse,
you
know, to it.
It was, well,
because of that, you know, kind of,
yeah,
that analogy.
So honestly,
being,
this kind of goes into some of the questions you have later down the line. But just to get that question out of the way, and I think it's a really good question, and very much speaks to my character, is the real, I'll say I wasn't going to shoot weddings for a variety of reasons, but the real honest reason that I was staying away from weddings was because of my confidence level, what I was shooting on, and primarily the fear of letting people down.
Interesting.
Weddings are the only things you can't reshoot, you can't reschedule, you can't rebook, you can't do over. Pretty much anything else in the world, you can be like, hey, that actually didn't, we didn't get it, let's do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Weddings are the one thing. So it was really, you know, my characteristic about myself that I have to realize and I'm always working with, in some sense, is probably a great benefit for the clients for what they get and what I'm charging. But I was staying away from weddings just because of, you know, just the fear of letting someone down and not delivering and making someone happy. It's like this overwhelming desire to please, you know, I think has been makes the deliverables very good when I actually execute the task. But yeah, it was the self-confidence, it was the belief in the self, and it was the fear of letting people down, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you let someone down on their wedding day, that's kind of a big deal, you know what I mean? So so now it was sort of the biggest thing was just sort of getting out of my own way, getting out of my own head, becoming more professional, scheduled, having bigger and better, more pro gear. It was one of the biggest things with quitting drinking was just sort of like getting out of one's own way.
Yeah.
Getting out of, like, getting rid of those obstacles and sort of charging them head on. And that, like, first year of sobriety, I was like, all right, if I'm going to take this seriously and I'm going to crack away at, like, all this credit debt that I'm accumulating, buying all this gear, it's weddings. Like, it's just got to be weddings. So then I shot my first, like, real wedding on a golf course in the Cape last year. And I just fell in love. Like I mentioned, it was the Tough Mudder event of photography. Like, it's just this insane day. You start off shooting, you know, macro work with like flat lays and details and rings. Then all of a sudden you're running gunning with a flash on top of your camera, which is very difficult to like make look good and flattering. Then you're outside and you're shooting natural light. And then maybe you're in a venue and you're shooting off camera flash, which a lot of people just don't do. And then you're shooting party footage and then you're shooting cakes and close-ups. And it was just this like insane day. And I was like, this is my jam. Like, this is awesome. And now I'm like, and now I'm just like, I'm so hungry for weddings. And like, I want to get so many more in my portfolio.
Yeah. I would imagine that it's almost like once you hit and you've gotten over that hurdle of that kind of like first one, like you said, you start to say, oh, you know, I can do this. Obviously. And, you know, that environment, while it seems really exciting, it also seems like a lot. So, right, I would imagine it's not for the faint of heart, you know, photographer. So building that confidence is amazing. And it's really interesting to hear you talk about, you know, the reason that you didn't shoot. I keep going back to this wedding example, but the reason that you didn't shoot it was, you know, maybe the confidence level or am I good enough? And I'm sure that's something that, you know, people can relate to.
For sure, 100%.
Across the board, right? Whatever it is that they're doing, whether it's, you know, oh God, I could think of a million examples. But
right, absolutely.
You know, you and I are similar in that. It's like, well, if I'm not going to be good at it, then I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not even going to try it.
Yeah. but,
and I'm sure we're not alone in that. There's a lot of our listeners, I'm sure you can relate to that too. It's just that fear of, you know, can I actually do this? And it's really interesting to hear you talk about like, that thought or that fear was present, but you did it anyway. And you crushed it. And now you found something that you really thrive in, right? And that you excel at and that you're, you know, really, really good at. It's just about getting over that initial hurdle. So that's
it's really special. And I think I'll always say, like, my favorite part of what I do is is always every time going to be the people and the stories and the events that I get to interact with and mingle with. And I think it's really special. Like, again, I don't, I'm in a really good position right now, where I have a lot of creative freedom and I'm trying to keep it that way. By not doing it 100% full time, I get to really be selective. Like I said, like, take my wedding couples out and, you know, get coffee with them, talk about themselves, talk about the big day, make sure we're a good fit for each other. Everything from that to families, to lifestyles, to portraits. I just get to meet super awesome people and really get to capture, like, really interesting stories and events. And it's funny because I'll always get a little nervous before every shoot, every event, doesn't matter how big or small. A perfect example, I think, is breaking into some family shoots and some family photography, whereas I've always really been hesitant or just not known what to do around kids and children. I've just, it's always been this weird gray area where I'm just like,
hey, buddy.
And I feel like that way before every shoot. And then every single time, like, every single parent's just like, oh, like, and it's funny because I'm so introverted. And I just, if, like, I'm shooting an engagement, I'll break into this, like, totally different personality. And then when I shoot families with, like, children, I'll totally break into, like, this completely different person. And the parents are always like, oh my God, like, how many boys do you have? Like, you know what I mean? They ask me, they're like, oh my God, you're so good with, like, Phoenix and Griffin. Like, how many boys do you have? And I'm like, I actually don't have any kids. And
I have plans.
They're like, yeah, I have lenses and camera bodies. They're like, oh my God, like, you're so good with the kids. Like, we would have never guessed. It's like, it's really funny because I just sort of show up, I get the task done, and I really just, I think, just that authentic, passion and excitement to be there really comes through, you know. And then I come home, I'm just like super quiet. It's funny.
No, I get it. I mean, I think that's, you know, kind of from a fellow introvert, right? You can be out there and do what you need to do, but then it's time to recharge. Like, you gotta do it. Yeah, I need silence. No, I need solitude.
Yeah, it's called the wedding hangover.
Oh, I get that.
Photography world, it's real stuff when you're running around with all that gear and whatnot. But
yeah.
No, that's been, sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry. Nope. You're good.
No, I was going to say, so that's really the cool. I always say, like, that's my favorite part is just being able to tell people stories, interact, and just helping promote people and capture. You know, I was kind of thinking last night, I was like, I kind of had this funny thought where I was like thinking about drive and purpose, and I was kind of thinking that, like, maybe my drive and purpose is to, like, capture other people's moments and other people's happiness and other people's special events, and, like, that's my sort of calling to be there at that moment and capture it in a sort of hopefully creative, artistic, somewhat different way than everyone else is doing.
No, that's amazing. And I mean, I can say firsthand to our listeners, I've been, you know, a client of yours as well. And one of the things that, you know, I even kind of noted that I wanted to talk about today was, I think, one of your most unique and genuine qualities, you know, as a photographer, is your ability to connect with and your commitment to those with whom you work, right? The level of effort that you put forth is exceptional. And I know, you know, just listening to you speak and also experiencing firsthand, like, that's very much your ethos. Like, that's very much your drive. And to our listeners, quick story, you may remember when Emmy interviewed me a few months ago, you know, she mentioned that I was in a band. And so I had, you know, reached out to Eric and was like, hey, can you just do, you know, a few shots? Like, we just needed a promo picture for a gig that we had coming up.
Yeah.
So and I was just expecting, you know, and asking for, you know, just a couple snaps, right? Mm-hmm. But what you did was that, you know, you even connected with me. We had a Pinterest board kind of shared to start to get the vibe of what I was envisioning and, you know, capturing the look. And we shot in, you know, the bar at which you work as well. Kind of like, you know, you mentioned that you don't do this full time and that, you know, we'll talk to, you still bartend and manage a bar program, which is incredible. Definitely. But we got to the location and, you know, this, like, I know you and it's not like this false personality, but there was this just like cool personality or cool part of your personality that came up and you're like, okay, let's do this. And like, let's do that. Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, pause. And then you had this can of like mist or fog and then you had a backlight behind us and you did this mist and I swear, listeners, like the photos looked so epic. Like they looked so epic. And I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
And we knocked that out, you know, with under an hour. But it was just like the prep work that you did is really what I want to focus on. It's not the story isn't about me, but it's about your ability to hone in, empathize, sympathize, whatever it is, like really connect, almost like you're reading your client's mind. Which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I super appreciate that. I mean, that that's like the biggest compliment I think that I could get. I think that's what I strive for. I think that, I mean, in this day and age, literally every single person, you know, can just reach into their pocket and they're a photographer. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and the advancement is, and that's awesome and that's great. So, you know, I think if you're paying someone for something that everyone can do, I think you should be bringing something to the table that everyone else can't do.
Yeah.
And you don't have to bring in the lights and the haze and the mist for that. It's just that's a really cool form of photography, you know, called off-camera flash, and it's really cool. It's almost kind of like a magical part of photography where you can't really see it until the shot's been taken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can really, like, you know, really get some really awesome reactions from people. You know, I think it's really important to, you know, especially in my area where I don't have a niche, is to really really be able to deliver. And that's why I talk about and market myself more as a freelance photographer than, you know, a niche like newborn photographer or a family photographer.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I'm super passionate about what I love to do, and I'm probably not just going to shoot any family, but, you know, because I had never really shot families either. And then just the cutest family came to my bar and I was like, you guys, like, I literally need to photograph her. That is the cutest baby. And I'm not even a babies are cute person, but I was like, your baby is so cute. We need to photo him. And then it just snowballed. And now, like, I never thought I'd have like that personality to be around kids. And then it's just, like you said, like just something clicks on in the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even realize it. It happens, and then I get, you know, into my car, and I'm just kind of, I've got this like vibration, this like shake, this like energy, you know, there's just this like jazzed up feeling, and it's just so cool for me to impact people's lives and not like lessening myself. I just kind of think that, like, I think sort of my calling lately has just been to work with creatives and capture what people are interested in and passionate about. You know, and it's, again, it's really awesome for me because I don't have to just take on anyone who's paying. It's sort of like, I actually really believe in what you do. And I still do a lot of pro bono work and work for people and just create, you know, passion projects for people too.
Yeah, and that's really interesting that, you know, the way you've set up your business, so to say, is that you can stick to your, you know, your authenticity as well. And, you know, you don't have to I don't want to use the word sellout, but you know, you don't have to kind of compromise your integrity and what you believe in. And that it seems like, you know, part of the undertone, I would say, you know, whether people see that or not when they're looking to work with you, is that, you know, your focus is that it's a good fit for both parties, right? You're not going to take it just for the sake of taking a job or, you know, the sake of taking a picture. You're going in to create a piece of art, and you're going in to create a memory and an experience for that client.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely like to think of it that way. The fit, I think for me, is one of the most important things. And I mean, there's no shortage of photographers, you know, I mean, I know, and I do this all the time, is, you know, if people are looking for a particular style, I'm like, honestly, this person's fantastic at that. And I think you should probably work with, you know what I mean? Like, I think, especially in the local photography community, there's a lot of like secrecy and competition. And I'm definitely going to be the first one to be like, dude, this person is so much better than me. Like, I think you should probably go with them. They might cost you a little bit more, but like, this person's incredible. I think they're more so what you're looking for. I think one of the worst characteristics or personality traits someone can have is when people get kind of down on people for being successful or good or great at something. And I'm going to be everyone's biggest cheerleader. I love seeing people do well. I love seeing other people succeed. And I think the coolest thing that we have through social media is not to be secrecy, but to like promote and encourage
those people,
you know what I mean? Or I'll find people all the time on social media and I'll share their work on my page and be like, hey, like, look at this person. This works great. You know what I mean? This person's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, we're in the city, we're in Massachusetts. There's plenty of work to go around. And I think the coolest thing we can do is just sort of like hype everyone up and promote everyone. And it's not just about my work. It's about the city in Massachusetts and what we're, you know, the area that we're in. And there's no shortage of people, families, weddings going on, and there's no shortage of photographers. And I think there's just, you know, a style out there for everyone, and I think there's a photographer out there for everyone. And I have a, you know, I'm in a fortunate place to know a lot of them, so if I'm not your guy, I can help recommend some people to you.
And that's just really incredible. You know, I'm loving having this interview twofold, like to see how you've developed as, you know, this business, but also to see, you know, this wonderful human quality of you that I think, like, you know, I don't necessarily get to see all the time. I know it's there, but just hearing those words, it's like, dang, like, you're an incredible human, right? And I feel especially, and I'm not just saying that, it's just like, I'm listening to this. And I'm like, wow, like, this is, you know, my brother, and how fortunate am I to get to talk to you at this level?
It's been very cool because, I mean, you know, it's you know, there's really no kind of not cheesy way to put it, but like, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for the people reaching out and hiring us and booking us and being so patient with their deliverables on these busy months. Being a photographer in New England in the fall is pretty crazy.
it's like your tax season.
It's wild. Yeah, it's an insane thing. Where was I going with that though? I totally lost my train of thought.
It's okay. I think what you're saying is that, you know, like going back to there's so much work and there's so much effort that you know, building each other up is a very important quality, and it's a very important kind of, you know, thing for you that you do. And I think that, you know, that translates, right? Like giving that out and putting that out in the world, it's going to come back to you too, because I'm sure, and I'd imagine that maybe you've been on the referral side, right? Like someone probably said, hey, you know, my guy Eric, he can do this, like spot on, right?
Yeah. Or I have a really great wedding lined up in October next year with this couple, Jackie and Evan. I love them. They're so cute. They were bar guests of mine for a long time, and they just mentioned about like finding their wedding venue, and I was like, "You guys are getting married? I didn't know you guys were getting married." And I was like, "Oh, cool. Like, I dabble in a little bit of photography." Like, "Oh, we didn't know you were a photographer." And they were like, "Dude, will you shoot our wedding?" And I was just like, "I mean, I'd love to. I'm still gonna like take you guys out and do my thing, and we'll have a chat, and we'll make sure the fit's right." But I was like, "But yeah, if it works out, obviously."
Yeah.
And now like they're, you know, they combined like, "Dude, we're just so stoked for you to meet everyone. Like you're gonna get along like so great with everyone." And it's this really cool, like just like humble, like natural flow. And then that day is going to be so natural and organic with them because we've already spent so much time together, and then we've also done engagement shoots together. They're like, "Dude, we just can't wait for you to like hang out at the after party with us and like get some cool party shots and whatnot." They're like, "Dude, you're gonna vibe with everyone so well," and it's super humbling. I think what I like at the train of thought I lost earlier, I was saying, you know, it's just very thankful for everyone that, you know, sees the work, hires, supports, etc. Like I made a post last night about, you know, if you hire us, if you book us, if you share our post, if you like it, if you do anything like that at all with all of the photographers that are doing what they love and struggling with, you know, creating a business like I am myself, making it an LLC this year or whatnot. I don't know that world at all. I'm just figuring it out as I go along. And if you do anything in that process, whether it's just drop a heart, like, share a post, like you're literally supporting small business. And it's, you know, we're nothing without the people that see us, hire us, book us, and share our stuff. And it's, again, it's just been super cool to evolve and, you know, take on bigger, and it's been really cool to kind of just like take on bigger and more serious gigs and whatnot, and you know, get these sums of money where I'm like, all right, well, I gotta start giving Uncle Sam his piece. I gotta I gotta make sure
Uncle Sam is so greedy.
Yeah. You know, so this year has been a lot of this year has been really challenging. It's been really exciting. It's definitely my busiest year as a photographer. It's been my most profitable year. And it's really kind of getting down to some nitty gritty aspects of like taking it more like a business, taking it more seriously, tracking everything, doing online, making myself bookable, finding a tax guy, finding a booking guy, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's really that's not
kind of getting down to those brass tacks of business, right?
And people like, I have a great friend, super shout out to Molly Greeley, shoots under Captured by Mall. She's very, very biz and savvy with that. So she's been a great resource to talk to. As I take this adventure more seriously and make it more legitimate and kind of turn it into an LLC. I don't super enjoy that aspect of the gig.
The rates
and the charging and the contracts and the liability and the taxes and stuff like that. So it's more of, you know, it's still very much a balance. For me, and I ride a really tricky line in October because October is most of ours busiest months. It's still very important to me in the back of my head that I keep it, you know, for me, and I keep it as a passion project, and I don't get burnt out. And it's the number one question I always get. It's like, "Oh, don't, like, do you want to do this full time? Like, do you blah, blah, blah? Do you think about doing it full time? Do you want to do it full time?" And it's like, yeah, to a degree, but like, honestly, like I'm just in like such a good spot right now where the income is there, the creativity is there, the passion's there, the gigs are fun, they're exciting. I want to be involved. I want to do them.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's just really important to, I mean, you can absolutely love what you do to death. You're still going to get burned out.
Yeah. And you mentioned a really interesting point Yeah, about finding that balance, right? And what works for you, you know, may not work for somebody else, or what works for somebody else may not work for you. But it seems like you're very, very focused on and committed to maintaining kind of, I would say, that joy about it, right? Like, yes, you still are going to have to evolve, right? You still have to set up like the LLC, the business, the stuff that nobody really, or, you know, maybe is not like the sexiest part of all this, right?
For sure.
But, you know.
No, 100%. Like, no, 100%.
But you're doing it in a way, it seems that you can keep that joy, right? Because I would imagine that, especially when you're starting out for yourself, or you're starting out in, you know, pursuing something career-wise that is also, you know, a creative project or a creatively based business, that it could get hard, and it, you know, probably does get hard. And tell us a little bit more about like how you continue to kind of navigate that balance. I know you mentioned like still staying selective, still staying kind of part-time. How else do you manage kind of avoiding that?
Yeah, it's a super good question, because, you know, essentially what I do, I really enjoy, and I want to feel that joy that you talked about. Every time I pick up my camera, my gear, which we've mentioned, I'm like very much into my gear. I love, you know, I get a little excited every time I just hold my camera. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, I put a lot of time and a lot of passion into them, and, you know, making sure I'm always getting the absolute highest quality that I can afford. It's very important to me that I feel that joy every time I put those cameras up. So, I mean, I'm really in the early stages. I'm really figuring this out. I'm not going to tell anyone I have any answers. And I'm definitely, you know, as far as this world of, you know, New England photographers go, I'll definitely say personally, I'm probably not that busy or successful or what have you. I'm just in
a
really good spot.
Give yourself a little bit more credit.
I'm just in a really good spot for me, and it feels really good for me to be where I'm at. And the progress and the growth has been good. If there's any sort of advice, I guess I'd say just sort of, you know, prepare. You know, I'm fortunate enough that like I've typically been able to make careers and jobs out of my passions.
Yeah.
It's been very consistent for me in that sense. But what I've realized happens every single time is that everything I do, I have to overdo, and everything I do, I have to be really good at it. And I need other people to know that I'm at least decent at it. So I just dive in, and it just becomes my whole life. And then, you know, let's say bartending, mixology, cocktail program creation for restaurants is a great example. I went super hard, and now I'm super burnt out.
Yeah.
And it's not what I'm passionate about. Fucking, I don't even drink anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's complete, you know, so for me, I want to make sure that I'm still taking the time to, like we talked about earlier, build people up. Like I just took a friend of mine out to do some realtor shots around Boston, completely pro bono. He's just, you know, he's like 21. He's, you know, he's already trying to leave the restaurant industry and like follow his career. And I'm like, I have potentially a means to build him up and help him out.
Yeah.
You know, that was really cool for me to take a little break in between like a really busy weekend and just, you know, do something nice for someone.
Sure.
But still out of my medium, which is photography, you know what I mean? Like I can still have a good time. He benefits from it. I benefit from him, because that's more less income and just more feeding the creative soul. You know, I get to do a really beautiful thing with my medium and my job, is where if I'm burnt out, I can always just kind of like head up north and like, you know, do a little time lapse of like the sunrise over the White Mountains in New Hampshire, or, you know, bring my gear back to like my baseline, which is like nature and just kind of like having fun. And that's sort of, I know one of your questions was about clientele and building up clientele. And, you know, I just started posting and sharing like what I was capturing, and I just started shooting more and more different stuff and abstract stuff. And, you know, eventually I just got to a point where I was just making sure that I was shooting all the time.
Yeah.
And I was shooting all the time out of passion and interest, and then just a creative drive of always getting better from not having a niche. You can go from one thing to another thing and be like, I crushed this shoot. You know, let's say it's like people, and then you can go shoot like some food, and you're like, wow, I suck at shooting food. It's very humble, and it's always a means to improve. So I just kept posting, and then, you know, eventually it just turned into like people inquiring, and then people eventually turned into being like, hey, how much do you charge? Or like, I don't know. I have to charge too much. And then, you know, you evolve and you work with other creatives, and it's just snowballed into, you know, this insane year where it's just super cool and super humbling. Like 2 years ago, like I was not, you know, I was pretty much living the same life, but not to like the degree of dedication and passion and executing it until, you know, I kind of, like I said, got out of my own way.
Yeah.
And I got out of my own self-doubt and my own self-fear with, you know, the booze in, not that it was ever too much, but it was always like a means to go to like the next day. That really, you know, 2 years ago when I stopped, I was not doing anything to the degree that I'm doing now. So to get through that first year and then the second year where I'm just, you know, booked and I'm shooting and I'm editing, it's just, it's really awesome, and it feels really good, and I feel really fortunate, and I feel very thankful, and it's a really humbling process, you know, especially within the past just calendar year, whereas this time last year, you know, very, very, we'll say, lost, and took a management job that I didn't want just because the pay was consistent. It wasn't even good, it was just consistent. And then I was just sitting on that bar stool, you know what I mean, in the city, and just like watching, you know, watching the days go by. And I was just like, all right, I'm super unhappy. Don't like where I am. I'm going to dive into this 110%. And this was the fall of last year. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start shooting some families. And I dove into families. I started making some cash, and I got out of my little hole, and I went from literally, I didn't really have any money last year, and I spent over 10 grand on camera gear.
Wow. Alone
this year, you know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah.
And it's, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's been, yeah, to kind of, stop the rant. It's been humbling. It's been great, and it's super cool. And I mean, if I can keep it up, I'm super excited to see what happens next year. You know?
That's incredible. I mean, yeah, listening to you is like, it's amazing. I see this. I see this transformation in you. And, you know, I'm lucky to have kind of that front row seat. And, you know, listeners, I don't know if it's professional or not for an interview, but listening to you, I could start to cry. Like, I'm so damn proud of you. I'm so damn proud. I
appreciate you.
And it's just incredible. And, you know, I think if you are in the greater Boston area, you could reach out, book Eric. Like, he is legit. I'm not just saying that, you know, even looking at your portfolio, it's just incredible. And you can see, I think, all of these things that you've said, right? Like your commitment, your passion, and having that be a very common and prominent thread in everything, it shows, right? It absolutely shows, and it absolutely comes through in your work. So as we're kind of, you know, getting to the end of our talk today, I could continue to talk for hours. And I know you alluded to a little bit of this into the, you know, upcoming year. And so, but where do you see yourself kind of taking this business into the future? I know you mentioned a little bit about, you know, kind of, for lack of better words, making it legit or more structure, well, or projects.
I mean, I never really saw it getting to the point where it's at now, and I wouldn't even say it's anything, you know, too impressive. Like, but you know, for, especially from a social media standpoint, I'm terrible with social media, so I'm really bad with my posts and my algorithms and my followers. Like, that needs a ton of work. But you know, from going from just, you know, hiking up some mountains occasionally and doing some cool sunsets to, you know, just being involved in some of the most important aspects of people's lives, maternities, newborns, engagements, weddings, you know what I mean? It's been really incredible. So this year was a really good year in the means of learning how to book, stay busy, deliver, track finances, make the whole booking, signing, contract process easier on the clients. Mm-hmm. And now the end of the year, as I kind of finish out my busy season, as we say, it's going to be about taking those numbers, not from like a profitable, greedy sense, but turning it back into the business. Mm-hmm. The end of this year will be making, paying, and doing everything I need to do to make it an LLC. And then next year will be a little bit more of taking all the investments. Like I said, like the 10K I dropped this year just in camera gear alone, taking that and really turning it around to the clients and the gigs, and just sort of building up that portfolio, maybe shooting a few more, doing a little bit more bigger event stuff, like shooting a lot more weddings and stuff next year. But the rest of this year will be a huge learning process in the means of how the hell do I start an LLC? How the hell do I start my own business? Like, where do I find a booking guy? Like, where do I find a tax guy? Mm-hmm. And I'd love to tell you I have a background in that. I went to school for that, but I did not. There's probably people listening to this that, like, you do. You just go to City Hall and you pay $500 and you get an LLC. Like, it's no big deal. I don't know that world at all, you know? Like, I'm a photographer. Like, I'm a classic, like, old school cocktail guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's really just navigating these waters that, like, I don't know about. And I think with the sobriety, it's like sometimes I'll end the day and I'll be like, wow, like, this is so cool. Like, I get to interact with all of these people and I'm there for like some of the most special moments that are never going to happen again in their lives. And I'm like, man, that is so cool. And then other nights I'm like, I'm going to die from anxiety. Why are these people fucking me? Holy shit. This is so fucking and I just like look at my calendar and I look at my editing queue and I'm just like, oh my God. And I was thinking about this last night, and I was thinking about talking with you, and I was thinking about how nervous and anxiety filled I felt at the beginning. I'm going to get choked up. at the beginning of the sobriety, but it was just because it wasn't bad. It was just because it was new, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I was thinking that, like, this is just like a new thing I'm nervous about. You know what I mean? Like, I'll figure it out.
Yep.
Like, next year will be better. Like, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll get it. Sorry.
No, this is amazing. And what you're saying is so spot on, right?
Yeah.
New things are scary. New things are really scary.
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, you know, it's not like when I get this feeling of like anxiety at the end of the night with like the clients and the booking, it's like I kind of think about those first few months of sobriety where it's just like, you know, like, this isn't a bad anxious, this is a really good anxious, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. And next year I'm gonna know what to do, I'm gonna get to do it better, I'm gonna be even more, hopefully, what have you, successful, smarter, planet, whatever.
Yeah. No, you're spot on, right? It's always the first. Yeah. The firsts are hard. You know, the first year of sobriety is hard. It's the first, you know, wedding. It's the first, whatever.
It's kind of getting out of your own way, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Like,
And the more you get out of your way, I think the more that gets in your way, but you're more...
You can handle it open. In a different way.
Yeah, you're more open. Like, you get out of your way, you have these weddings and these big clients and these corporate clients. So that gets in your way, but you open yourself up to those bigger hurdles and those bigger challenges.
Yeah.
And you grow. And everything I've ever been nervous about or had a little bit of anxiety going into, I always feel that if I just do it and I show up and I get it done, I always feel better afterwards.
Yeah.
And one of the best things that I heard that just kind of really stuck with me is, you know, I think everyone is so busy, everyone's so anxious in this world, and everyone wants to like crush these feelings of anxiety with, you know, whatever, drinking, medication, therapy. Whereas anxiety is this really good, natural, healthy feeling that you should have. Because, again, this is just something that I heard that really stuck with me, is anxiety is just problem solving for the future.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, yeah, you're anxious because you're thinking about the future. And that's just something I wasn't really doing when I was, you know, I was still working and I wasn't going crazy, but like, it's just something I wasn't really doing when I was drinking all the time, because it was just sort of like,
yeah,
there was no real future thought mentality. Mm. Whereas now I'm only thinking about the future and I'm like,
yeah. I'd imagine that's like a different kind of anxiety, right? It's a more,
yeah, for sure.
Like the anxiety that comes from, you know, being in a place where
people are relying on you and you have to deliver and you have to, there's no external people I can call. It's me. It's 100% me.
Yeah.
Me with the camera, me editing everything. So it's cool. It's a good, you know, it's cool, like, have these feelings at the end of the day and kind of be able to nurture, grow, and like face them sort of head on.
Yeah.
You know, with a clear mindset. And then just people being jazzed about what you're doing and people wanting to reach out and talk and stuff like that. It's I definitely, you know, I wasn't doing any of this a year ago or 2 years ago and stuff like that. So it's the growth that's happened in the last year, it's just, it's really exciting. And you could probably say I've done a bunch of bad moves financially this year with buying so much crap, but I really
it's
think
it's an investment in your future, right?
Yeah,
it's an investment in the future of your brand.
The 2023 was really just rebuilding. Rebuilding the brand, rebuilding the mind, finding out my purpose, my interest, my passion, building the foundation. And now 2024, just, I want to just go in and absolutely crush it. 100%. 100%. You know,
and you're going to, there's no doubt in my mind.
I have the tools, I have like the health, I have the mentality. Like I said, I don't really think I'm anywhere super impressive right now, but I definitely am at a place where I didn't think I'd be, especially a year ago. I'm certainly not a motivational speaker by any means, but you know, I think you definitely need you need the lows to go through the highs, and you know, and just if you can find something that you know you're passionate about that makes the day to day better, like, go for it. You know, make a living out of living. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this has been incredible, Eric. Like, I'm just blown away, absolutely blown away by you.
Appreciate talking with you.
I wish that we didn't have to wrap this up again.
I know, I probably didn't touch on a lot of things you wanted to talk about, but we can always do it.
I think we covered everything, and you know what I want to do is create a space for, you know, you to tell your story and you just, you know, tell our listeners what's on your mind and get them excited about things. So this is perfect. Everything has been perfect. Yeah. And I think, you know, we've wrapped up everything that, you know, all the major points that I was hoping to highlight and kind of spotlight about. So just to add, at the end of every interview, we always ask our interviewees a couple of questions, and humor me if you will.
Yeah.
So this being a podcast in and of itself, we always like to ask, you know, are you listening to any podcasts, or what, you know, what are you listening to right now?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm outside of being a tech head, I'm just a huge nerd, and I love the journey that I've been on the past couple of years with health and fitness, which probably sounds so cliche, but my biggest interest right now is just like health, nutrition, and the mind. So I'll rep him till I'm blue in the face, but Andrew Huberman, Huberman Lab podcast. It's Huberman Lab on all social media platforms, Huberman Lab. He's a neuroscientist from Stanford, and he just tackles really cool subjects and guests, and it's all from the perspective of a neuroscientist, from effects of sleep, caffeine, drugs, exercise on the mind. It's super, super cool.
That's awesome.
So Alex Huberman is my main guy, my Monday podcast. He releases an episode everything. Anything just human mind, body wise, I'm super interested in. And then Matthew Walker it's like a podcast, more of a writer in a book. He's the world's leading sleep scientist and researcher. I think sleep is sleep is probably one of the most boring things on paper, but it's so fascinating. It's like the more we're finding out the technology that's evolving. Alex Huberman and Matthew Walker are two wild people I check out.
And that goes into my next question. And I know you mentioned the second person writes books as well, but are you reading any books right now or any other sort of, you know, kind of publication
that you want to share? So Matthew Walker for sure. And then my books are very eclectic with where I've been at mentally the past couple of years. I guess we'll call it like the David Goggins mindset, where I'm sort of following and just listening to some really badass motivated people, if you will. A really good place to find those is I've read a couple of ex-Navy SEAL books.
Okay.
And they're really cool in the means of just determination and willpower.
Yeah.
And getting through hard, difficult stuff. It's not like, oh, we're the Navy SEALs, we're cool. It's just like, hey, here's how we got through the hardest things that we've ever done in our lives. And here's how you can take what we've learned and apply them to your daily life.
That's incredible.
So like one book's called like Embrace the Suck. That's what they call it. That's what they call
the Hell Week or
Another one's called The Comfort Crisis, which is just, you know, just deals with, you know, people and where we are at today as a society with comfort levels. And I just love reading about hardcore people doing really cool stuff, and it motivates me to be uncomfortable and get out in extreme conditions, out in the water, out in the wild, in the mountains, and be resilient and be healthy and face difficult, put yourself purposely in difficult situations, and it makes the day to day, I think, a little bit better.
That's incredible.
Sure. Yeah,
that's incredible.
So I always joke about hiking in the middle of the night by myself to get some shots of like the stars or a time lapse of the Milky Way. And that anxiety walking through the woods in the middle of the night by yourself.
Oh, it makes me want to like throw up right now.
That anxiety compared to like the everyday life anxiety, it's nothing. You know, like it really, like
puts everything
calms you down for the rest of the week, if that makes sense. But I don't know.
Yeah, 100%.
Going off absolutely. On yeah, you know.
No, well, I mean, I think, you know, I can't thank you enough for your time.
Yeah, no, appreciate it.
I would love to have you back on in the future.
Yeah,
I think we could keep talking.
For sure.
But Eric, I appreciate you. I'm so proud of you. And this has been
an absolute
honor. I got
a couple really good
honor.
Older sisters, so I turned out okay. I got some guidance and some people looking out for me upstairs.
Well, we said you could either have turned into this incredible human that you are, or a serial killer. So I'm glad it wasn't the latter. We're brutal, and I'm sorry.
There's still time. Who knows? No, it's all life good. No, super appreciate you. Super stoked to see everything that you're doing. Definitely a continuing source of inspiration and motivation for me. So keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate you.
Reciprocal thing, my friend and my brother. So we got it. So thank you again, Eric. We're gonna
thank you.
Gonna let you go and keep doing what you're doing. But
back again,
thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate y'all. Back soon.
Okay. Proud sister here, let me tell you. I am constantly inspired by my brother Eric, and I am so grateful that you got to know him a little bit as well. I hope that you gained some new perspective and enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed recording this. I hope this leaves you with a reminder to find what inspires you, to find what lights your fire, and most importantly, that you are much stronger and much more capable than you may realize. Until next time.